Let's just listen into what the Prime Minister had to say. Very significant remarks just before his one-on-one meeting with the Russian President Vladimir Putin, where he speaks directly about India's concerns on the Ukraine war. Listen in.
युद्ध हो, संघर्ष हो, आतंकवादी हमले हो, मानवता में विश्वास करना वाला हर व्यक्ति जब जानहानि होती है तब बहुत पीड़ित होता है, लेकिन उसमें भी जब मासूम बच्चों की कत्ल होती है, मासूम बच्चों को मरते हुए देखते हैं तब हृदय छलनी हो जाता है और वो दर्द बहुत भयानक होता है। एक्सलेंसी, एक मित्र के नाते मैंने हमेशा कहा है कि हमारी भावी पीढ़ी के उज्जवल भविष्य के लिए शांति सर्वाधिक आवश्यक है, लेकिन मैं ये भी जानता हूं कि युद्ध के मैदान में समाधान संभव नहीं होते। बम बंदूक और गोलियों के बीच समाधान और शांति वार्ताएं सफल नहीं होती हैं, और हमने वार्ता के माध्यम से ही शांति के रास्ते अपनाने होंगे।
The death of the innocents yesterday, Prime Minister was very clear and categorical in expressing his concern and regret at the loss of these innocent lives, including in particular the children yesterday. And you would have seen that, I'm not trying to paraphrase Prime Minister's remark because he said it openly, he clearly said, roughly translated into English, that the solution to this conflict is not to be found on the battlefield. This is a very rough translation of what Prime Minister said, and that it is possible only through dialogue and diplomacy.
All right, let's go straight across to NDTV's Vasudha Venugopal, who's been tracking everything that's happened in Moscow. Now, Vasudha, there was an expectation that the Prime Minister would refer to Ukraine, but the choice of words and the direct manner in which it was delivered, quite clearly, India and the Prime Minister was out there to send an urgent message. What exactly did the Prime Minister say?
Well, Vishnu, I think this is a message that the Prime Minister wants to give out to the world, that the country, that India is capable of balancing what is right for the country, at the same time, what really is right for humanity. So I think this is a very strong message that comes straight from the Prime Minister's, Prime Minister's visit here. And I think that is the most important thing, because he has clearly said that the loss of innocence is something that the world needs to be talking about. He said this just a day after Russia escalated the war against Ukraine, bombing a children's hospital. In fact, talked about this, in fact, without really mentioning what really happened. But at the same time, he did say that solutions do not emerge from the battlefields. This is a consistent position that India has taken in the course of the last 2 years since the war has begun. In fact, not really condemning Russia, but at the same time, not really supporting its actions, but always insisting on democracy, dialogue, and of course, more of dialogue, always. So clearly, this is a reiteration of that message, and consistency has been maintained. But other thing that the Prime Minister did talk about was, of course, the expediting of the early release of Indian soldiers who have been trapped into this network of fake jobs. Remember, there's a CBI inquiry that's going on in the country to understand how this recruitment is going on. Several Indians have been pushed into military front, into the war front of Russia against Ukraine. But of course, they've been put into the conflict zone by, while they were promised that they would be actually support staff. So this is something that India has raised. The Prime Minister has raised this personally. And in fact, Russia would be taking steps. In fact, both teams will be working together, is what Vinay Kavatra said today. India would also be expanding its trade basket. In fact, both countries have set a target of $100 billion to ensure that the imbalance between trade, exports and imports does not really, become too big for India to handle. In fact, the Prime Minister has specifically emphasized emphasized on fertilizer security because it concerns farmers. But like you said, the most important highlight is, of course, the Prime Minister not shying away from talking about the most important thing that the world is worried about, and that is the Ukraine-Russia war. This is the biggest conventional war that the world has seen since the Second World War. So it would have been really, extremely tragic if the Prime Minister hadn't talked about it. But of course, the Prime Minister has talked about it, and his choice of words are very important because he talked about children. And in fact, coincidentally, Vishnu, only yesterday, Vladimir Putin talked about children. In fact, he said that 23 million children are born in India every year because, families are optimistic about prospects of the country. In fact, Russia is celebrating the land of family, the year of family. And for Prime Minister to talk about the right of life and also the fact that, children need to be valued and lives need to be valued in the context of both Russia and his own citizens, those trapped, in this military war front, shows that war is looming over this bilateral meeting. It is, of course, over now, and he has proceeded to Austria, and he is going to be the first Prime Minister in 41 years to visit Austria. But clearly, the larger messaging out there is that India is not afraid of talking about the war that the world is worried about. It may not take the sides that perhaps the West wants it to, but it does use its words carefully, which means that under Modi 3.0, foreign policy is going to be far more nuanced. It really shows that India is going to play the balancing act with a lot of tact.
Right, and perhaps be more direct as far as Russia and Ukraine is concerned, which seems to have been the case this time around. I'm joined now. Thanks very much, Vasudha, for being with us. Tatiana Kokhareva, a senior journalist from Moscow, joins us. Steve Sweeney, the RT correspondent, with us as well. Ruslan Bortnik, director of the Ukrainian Institute of Politics. Michael Kugelman with us from the Wilson Center. And Meera Shankar, India's former ambassador to the U.S., joins us as well. Ruslan Bortnik, let me come to you first. A day after the attack, less than 24 hours, as I understand it, after the attack on a hospital in Kyiv, a children's hospital, here we have Prime Minister Modi giving Putin a very direct statement where he says, let's take war, any conflict or terrorist acts, any person who believes in humanity feels pain when people die, and especially when innocent children die. When we feel such pain, the heart simply explodes. And I had the opportunity to talk about these issues with you yesterday. Do you believe that, all of this sends a very strong message, which no other international leader seems to be able to get through to the Russian president?
In any case, it's very important message because it helped to balance the Prime Minister's Modi's visit to Russia in this situation in Western mind, in Ukrainian society also, because before this visit, Ukraine considered this visit very suspicious. It looks like some kind of support and political support and economical support to Russian side. But these statements of Prime Minister Modi in Russia about the peace negotiation, about the statute of United Nations, about the ending of the war and respect to the human lives, especially children, is very important to better in the relationship between Ukraine and India and better in the reputation of India in the Western world, I think. But in any case, we are still waiting maybe a peaceful plan or peaceful ideas from India side also, because India is very important possible negotiator in this situation. India is not involved and not in aligned country in this moment, and the voice of India would be very useful, I think, and would be very
absolutely, Ruslan. I'm coming back to you in a moment, but let me go across to Steve Sweeney, the RT correspondent, who's with us as well. Steve, is there a sense that Russia may be willing to listen to the appeal made by Prime Minister Modi, get onto the table and start talking?
Well, I think we should reiterate from the outset that Russia has a long-standing commitment to peace negotiations and peace talks. That's been Russia's position right since the outset of the special military operation. You'll remember back in April 2022, the first few weeks of the special military operation, those talks, those negotiations were continuing, and there was some kind of agreement on the table. But of course, as we know, the then Prime Minister of Britain, Boris Johnson, he flew out to Kyiv and pressured Vladimir Zelensky into not signing that agreement and then therefore extending the conflict. Words of Prime Minister Modi would, of course, be incredibly welcome. India, the world's largest democracy, of course, it has relations with both Russia and the West, so it could play a very, very important role. But we've seen how the West has responded to, for example, the Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban's recent peace mission, which saw him visit Kiev, Moscow, Beijing, and now, of course, the in Washington, where the 75th NATO summit is currently underway. And there was a huge backlash from the West to that, saying that Orban doesn't have the mandate to negotiate peace or to put forward peace proposals. But I think this will be a very, very welcome move. Of course, Russia remains committed to peace talks. We've seen, of course, the West and the Ukraine, the peace conference hosted in Switzerland. Of course, that took place with a number of countries, although they failed to gain any kind of sense of unity there. The number of countries refused to sign the final declaration, and these were peace talks that were held without Russia. So I think the overlying message is that peace talks can take place, but they need to involve both parties.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Tatiana Kokoreva, I think, and just to follow up on Steve Sweeney, who makes an important point that, you know, there are several international leaders who are trying to get some sort of a peace dialogue happening, but do they have the international political capital to make a change? The way Prime Minister Modi positioned himself, and this was actually broadcast in his statement to President Putin, was by saying that, you know, since the G20 process in India, India is perceived to be or seen to be a voice of the global south. That is the way he has positioned India. Do you believe that positioning as being, in a sense, a leader of the voice of the G20, of nations of the South, is an important way in which India can actually push for peace?
That's a good question you're asking, Vishnu, but that's not the right one, though. The right, the more, you know, correct question to ask is whether other parties to this, you know, ongoing conflict, especially the ones who are sponsoring it, who are pouring in billions of dollars, are ready to accept India as an equally important voice in this conversation. As you remember, Prime Minister Modi has spoken about that's not the first kind of peacemaking effort he's making. There has also been a peacemaking effort by the Chinese leader, and they've been always kind of dismissed as something, you know, well, maybe. And then the only real, by the Western standards, attempt at peace was held unilaterally without the participation of Russia, which is obviously not the way to go. Again, just rightfully so, as you know, the RT correspondent has said, you know, we've been talking about negotiations since the beginning of this conflict. But the devastating truth is that up to today, and we're in 2024, and right now you are broadcasting the Western angle on the things that happen, you know, this attack that both the Russian Ministry of Defense has said that we see pictures, and the pictures are clearly stating that this is an anti-missile, you know, air defense missile that exploded there. This is not a Russian hit. Now, we've seen pictures of Ukraine posting their defense, you know, air missiles inside residential areas. And we saw them in the very beginning of this conflict, you know, in the summer of 2022. I actually showed these pictures to everybody, you know, and on Indian television broadcast them. And we're still taking the Western approach.
No, I think, I'll tell you where I disagree with you. You know, India has no capital necessarily in pushing a Western approach. The only approach is an Indian approach. We import oil from Russia. We import arms from America. You know,
we also ask Ukraine from Russia.
So does China, but that's a separate issue. You know, we talk to the West as strategic partners. We talk to Russia as strategic partners. We have
Vishnu. I'm not talking about the Indian position.
So the only perspective, that India's has in this is India's perspective.
And I'm not talking about India's perspective. As you rightfully mentioned, Prime Minister does not assign blame. He said it is devastating when children die. Well, so has the Russian Foreign Ministry. We've also come out and said it is devastating when children die. And we've stated Time after time, President Putin said that time after time, we're ready to talk, but we need to talk.
Essentially what you're saying, Tatiana, is that no one should apportion blame to Russia for the gutting of that hospital in Kyiv. That's what you're saying, right?
I'm saying we need proper proof before you can assign blame.
All right. Let me just try and get it.
Show the rockets. Don't show the devastation. Show the rockets that have Russian signings.
Okay. Ruslan Bortnik, that's an important statement. Is Ukraine absolutely certain that this was a Russian attack on that hospital?
I'm not a military expert, and like an expert, I am not sure in anything in this situation. But in any case, Russia is guilty of this.
It a misfire of a weapon? I'm only asking a specific question. Misfire of a weapon?
Our government is quite sure that it was Russian rocket. It was Russian.
But they're not showing pictures.
But in any case, this war started from the Russian intervention to Ukraine. In any case, and even if it was some kind of mistake, in any case, all these victims, it's a result of this intervention.
Okay, fair enough. I just wanted to go across to Michael Kugelman. What role do you actually see Narendra Modi playing here onwards? When Prime Minister Modi spoke a couple of years back to President Putin saying that this is a time for peace, not war, at the SCO summit, people just sort of thought that perhaps that's a diplomatic effort and, you know, the right thing that needed to have been said. Obviously, everybody wants peace. But this time around, it's much more direct. He's talking about children dying, irrespective of the exact circumstances of those deaths. He's talking about the UN Charter. He's talking about the war must end, talks must begin. And the fact is that India has immense diplomatic capital in Kyiv and in Moscow. Is that useful?
Right. So thanks for having me. I think that what the Prime Minister said in Russia is not as important as where he said it.
Yes.
He made the comments in Moscow. It's the first time that we've heard these comments made by Prime Minister Modi while in Russia. That's really significant because I think when you make these types of comments in Russia, when you're sitting with President Putin, I think that that makes them more powerful. It makes them more poignant, even if only symbolically. Yes, indeed, as you said, the Indian position since the war started was that the war has to end. And indeed, the comments were particularly direct this time. But to make this comment in Moscow during the summit with President Putin is very significant. Now, what does this mean for Prime Minister Modi's future role in this story? I'm one of several experts that has argued for quite some time that there might be a role potentially for India to serve as a mediator. Given that India has this very special relationship with Russia, and given that it has pretty good relations with Ukraine as well, there are very few other countries that can say they have that type of relationship with both Russia and Ukraine. But I think that the question is, are the belligerents ready for peace discussions? And I don't think so, quite frankly. And we've known that it's been so long that Prime Minister Modi has been calling for the war to end, but President Putin has given no indication that he wants to end the war, though I would argue that others, Ukraine, the U.S. and other Western actors who have been sending significant numbers of arms to Ukraine, there doesn't seem to be an immediate desire to actually begin a peace process right now. But I do think it was significant that you had that Geneva summit where you did have leaders come together to discuss how to build a consensus for peace. Those were not peace talks, but it was a discussion about the possibility for peace. So
without Russian,
if there's momentum from that.
Michael, without,
right, but
without Russian participation. So, essentially it achieved quite little, very little, in fact.
Right. But again, those were not peace talks. They were meant to set the parameters or to build a consensus for peace. And indeed, you have to have Russia at the table. There's going to be a peace negotiation. But that summit, which Russia would not have come to anyway, even if it was invited, was meant not to discuss peace, but to how to build a consensus in that direction.
All
bottom
right.
line is, I think that there could be a potential role for India to be a mediator, but only if those that are fighting this war are ready to start discussing peace. And I don't think we're there yet, unfortunately.
Tatiana, just one more quick question before I go across to Ambassador Meera Shankar. Russia, it appears, has agreed to ensure that the Indians who have been recruited to fight the war against Ukraine are brought back. India doesn't want to see any of our nationals actually participating in this war for several reasons, one of which was that they were duped into believing that they'd be employed elsewhere. They end up on the war front. The fact that Russia is willing to accept this as a request and an appeal, how important is that?
Vishnu, you're catching me completely off guard, because this story is obviously not, you know, this is very important for Indians, of course, but I came across this story when I was reading up on the Prime Minister's agenda before the summit.
Okay, hang on a second, Tatiana. Let me put that across to Steve in that case. Steve, this is something that's come up. Would you like to take that question, the fact that Russia is willing to accept this?
Yes, I mean, again, this has come from unverified sources. We haven't been able to confirm any of those details so far, so it would be unwise for me to comment on that. As soon as we have the details, of course, we'll get back to you with a response, but so far we can't really comment on it. We don't know the details of this.
Okay, so the Indian Foreign Secretary in a press conference about, what, an hour and a half back has confirmed that this conversation did take place. He was asked a specific question on the timeline, and he didn't seem to have an immediate answer except that both sides would be working. Fair enough. Let me go across to Ambassador Meera Shankar, who's been listening in very patiently to all of this. Ma'am, first question, can India be a mediator in this between Ukraine and Russia?
Well, that is if both sides accept India's mediatory role. At the moment, I think India has been talking generally in terms of its desire for peace and an end to the conflict. It has not put forward any specific proposals for mediation, and nor has it sought a specific role in mediation. It is reiterating that, you know, the world is paying a price for this conflict, and that a solution is not going to emerge through the military dominance of one or the other side. It is only to be found through dialogue, discussion, and diplomacy. And I think that's the general message that Prime Minister has been giving. We've participated in the different summit meetings which have taken place on Ukraine. But at the moment, as Michael said, the two belligerents seem very far apart and with little willingness to actually engage in negotiations.
Tatiana, would you accept that as far as, you know, messages for peace are concerned, that's all very well, but neither Russia nor Ukraine appear to be in a position at this stage to try and immediately bring an end to this fight?
Vishnu, I would again go to the point that the negotiation, the important negotiation, it's just like, you know, Mr. Botnick said, he said, look, there was a peace summit that was important. This is the height of hypocrisy that is incredible to watch. You cannot have a peace summit while at the same time, the very same time, sending billions of dollars worth of rockets for Ukraine. This has no point. It's completely useless. And that dialogue is not necessarily between Moscow and Kiev. Because unless we have a dialogue with the party that is bankrolling this war and has been bankrolling this war, you know, Ukraine doesn't even speak for itself. Not really.
All right. Michael, would you like to respond or offer a perspective on this? The role of the United States. Obviously, the U.S. has its own concerns on Russian aggression and ensuring that the sovereignty of Ukraine remains, that the territorial integrity of Ukraine remains. But the fact that by fueling, or bringing in more weapons into the area, the war gets prolonged. How would you respond to that?
No, I can't disagree with that. Indeed, as I had said before, it doesn't appear that there's a readiness on the part of the belligerents, as well as other key actors, particularly the U.S. and the NATO countries, providing military support to the Ukrainians. And indeed, you had this major arms deal or aid deal that was announced, by the U.S. in the days leading up to that Geneva summit. But again, I think you need to distinguish the two events. We've got the aid package, other things going on, but then you have the summit, which was meant to focus on how to start building a consensus for peace. And again, I can't imagine Russia would have attended that, even if it was invited. So on that, I think we could agree to disagree. But absolutely, for me, the bottom line point here, and I think many of us agree on this, is that despite these efforts that the Prime Minister Modi has made, despite these calls for peace, de-escalation, diplomacy, dialogue, I just don't think that the key actors are ready to go on that route yet. Let's hope that this message that Prime Minister Modi has delivered in Moscow will cause a change in that regard. But I'm not optimistic. I certainly don't think that President Putin will heed this call from Modi to move toward ending the war.
Ambassador Meera Shankar, a final question to you. The relationship between India and Russia, you know, it's multispectral in a sense. What were some of the big takeaways, you know, going well beyond the conversation on Ukraine?
Well, I think that we have this special strategic partnership with Russia, just as we have with the U.S. and with other countries. And as part of that, there's provision for annual summits, which have not taken place since the war in Ukraine began. This meeting focused on trade, and both sides have set a target of $100 billion in trade by 2030. Today, it's $65 billion, and India is concerned about the trade deficit. And I think both sides discussed ways in which Russia could buy more from India and also invest some of its rupee resources in infrastructure projects in India. They've agreed to trade in local currencies. India has agreed to open two new consulates in Russia. And of course, just before the visit, I think it was announced that Russia is beginning a production of mango armor-piercing shells in Delhi, in India, as part of co-production and under the Make in India initiative. I think for India, we also would like to see the deliveries of, you know, orders for military equipment in the pipeline, such as the, you know, S-400 and the frigates be stepped up, because there have been delays. And that obviously then impinges on the readiness of our armed forces. Sure. So I think that is something we would have discussed. And then finally, there's the issue of energy, where we would have looked at more long-term arrangements, which are more predictable and perhaps more predictable discounts. I think they haven't announced the details, but they have said that both sides will work together on energy projects. And last but not least is the question of connectivity, where both sides are pursuing two major corridors, the Chennai-Vladivostok Eastern Corridor, and the North-South Corridor, which goes via Bandar Abbas in Iran. So I think they have quite a bit on their plate.
Sure.
And, you know, things which really will make a difference to
Absolutely.
The Indian economy.
Well, let's see how all of this works out in the days ahead. Thank you all very much for joining us.